Many of you know, as you follow this stuff, MassMutual announcing yesterday that it is picking up and exiting Enfield, Connecticut. MassMutual is headquartered in Springfield, Mass., but they're going to take 1,500 jobs that were in Enfield, that's part of Senator Kissel's district, and moving it to Springfield. So that said, joining us now is the state senator from the 7th District here in Connecticut, Senator John Kissel. Senator, good morning and welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning, Dan. Great to be with you.
Senator, obviously this caught a lot of people by surprise, this announcement by MassMutual. Did it catch you by surprise?
Absolutely, for a variety of reasons. It was not even 4 years ago that I joined, I believe her name is Elaine Sarnicki. She used to be first selectman of Suffield, but she was, at that time, a vice president or a senior vice president of MassMutual. And they had just invested $34 million in upgrading the Enfield facility. It is just gorgeous. And so why they would turn around in less than 4 years, want to head 8 miles north to Massachusetts, that really begs some difficult questions for us to answer.
Well, since the announcement was made, and I know it's been a short period of time, less than 24 hours, but have you been able to glean any information as to why they might have made this move?
Well, just trying to read between the lines of their press releases, it doesn't appear that there was some kind of bidding war between Massachusetts offering incentives and Connecticut. I am going to send a letter out today to Commissioner Smith of the Department of Economic and Community Development asking if she has any information regarding this. There's a couple-year timeline here, so there might be a window of opportunity for us to jump in and find out what the deal is. But fundamentally, if this was simply a business decision by them, I don't want to say anything disparaging about the city of Springfield. I'm very happy that it's on, it's moving forward. But, you know, to have them move 8 miles as a simple business decision, it's not because Enfield's a bad place. It means that they just view that Massachusetts is better for business than Connecticut, and that's just a huge issue for the entire state. Because after investing if you did that with your home, if you invested tens of thousands of dollars and then you decide 4 years later, I'm just going to leave it behind and move 8 miles up the street, there's got to be a huge reason for that.
Now, do you know if MassMutual had received any incentives from the state when they made this improvement at its facilities in Enfield 4 years ago?
Well, since I learned about this yesterday afternoon, I've been sort of like going through the whole ribbon-cutting event from 4 years ago, and I do believe that Commissioner Smith and some others were there on the tours that were given afterwards. So that's going to be part of my inquiry. Did we offer any incentives to this $34 million? Was there any kind of promises for jobs or long-term staying here in the state of Connecticut? If there were problems, we're going to have to claw that money back, but so far I'm not quite sure.
And I know it's not just you. There were other officials in Enfield who were caught off guard by this announcement yesterday. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Our town manager, the mayor. I want to say something. I was at a meeting where Mayor Mike Ludwick was at last night. And he said, we're going to move forward. Connecticut and Enfield is open for business. We're going to, you know, this is it's a blip. We're not going to let it slow us down. Enfield's in the whole process of reevaluating what properties we own, what we don't, how we can market even town-owned properties that we don't need anymore. So we're not going to let this slow us down. But as a state senator who's been lucky enough to serve this district for over 20 years, 26 years, what does this tell us when a company says, I mean, it's not even like they're cutting the jobs, thank heavens. I think the people that live in my district are going to still keep their jobs, but instead of working in Enfield, they're now going to work in Massachusetts. So is it a bad corporate climate? Is it a long-term debt that Connecticut faces? Is it this constant talk of tolls on the borders, which like maybe the managers in Massachusetts said, heck, I'm not going to pay a toll every time I go to that Enfield office. You know what? We're just going to move all the jobs up to Springfield. Is it as simple as that? I don't know.
Senator, what kind of an economic impact will this have, at least short-term, on Enfield?
Actually, short-term, I don't think it'll have too much of a deleterious effect other than it's bad news, and so other corporations are going to look at that. We're in the process of bringing in some great businesses into some open facilities. The old Hallmark plant, I believe, is going to get some new tenants very shortly. So we don't want this dark rain cloud to cloud up the entire sky. We feel that North Central Connecticut is doing pretty well right now, and Enfield's definitely on the move, and we're thinking very out of the box as far as how we want to address our issues. That being said, at some point, I think the state of Connecticut loses some corporate taxes. And again, this is a bit of a hardship for those folks that were living in the area, that were commuting just here to Enfield. Now they have to go up the road to Massachusetts. Granted, it's only about 8 miles, but again, if these, and I'm so totally against this toll idea, but if these crazy toll people get their way, that's going to be a how much money each time somebody goes to work in Massachusetts. So, and again, I don't disparage the people that advocate tolls. But I think it's a crazy idea, so I apologize. They're not crazy, but I think it's a crazy idea.
Well, I think it's a crazy idea, too. But that said, paint the economic picture for Enfield, because right now people are thinking, well, it's Mass Mutual. Hallmark did move out. The mall isn't filled anymore. I don't know, does it even exist anymore? Fill us in on what's going on in Enfield.
Well, the mall definitely, I mean, it's been on the books here in Enfield for a mixed use, so we're trying to move along that road. We do have one anchor tenant left. That's Target, and they seem to be doing pretty well. We have our movie theater in there. So, yeah, there was an exodus. But, again, this is all part of the retail landscape that's changing so quickly as well. I've read that Sears, which was one of the anchor tenants of our Enfield Square Mall, is potentially facing bankruptcy because of the pressure from folks like Amazon and other pressures that are facing the retail industry. So we're facing things that are happening across the country. There's been too much of a retail build-out, too much of a restaurant build-out, and so there's a retraction going on right now that's affecting across the board. But like I said, we did lose Hallmark, but it's my understanding we're going to fill that large space very shortly, look for some positive announcements there. We have a group led by our deputy mayor who's examining all the town buildings, and we're going to find out which ones we need, and then we're going to start offering for sale and putting up for auction some of the ones we don't need so we can get some taxpayers in there and minimize the costs associated with it. So we're thinking out of the box. Part of this is precipitated by the governor sort of jerking people around that run towns. I mean, I'm just going to straight up and say it. You know, to just take $3 million away from a town budget at the last minute, my town leaders have said, we can't live like that. We're going to have to start depending on our own foresight a lot more because we just can't be at the whim of some person at the governor's mansion just taking a pen and saying, oh, I guess Enfield doesn't need $3 million.
Well, you talk about these budget changes, it seems, by the minute by the governor and how it's affecting municipalities such as Enfield.
Sure. I mean, you know, part of the problem in the last cycle was we didn't reach a bipartisan agreement until very well into the fiscal year. But it was a bipartisan agreement. And there's an understanding what's called back of the budget that we make certain generalized recommendations for cuts, and the governor turned around, ignored those. Granted, his hands weren't tied, but he ignored those, and he took it again out of towns. So let's say you're at the town of Enfield, and all of a sudden you realize the end of December, you're another $3 million less than what you even thought the bipartisan budget was going to give you. Where can you make that up? Because your fiscal year ends in about 6 months. Well, you can't really go to the school system. They've been up and running. Classes are going. They're filled with students. So you can't really go in there, and you don't want to lay off teachers or administrators, but you really even can't because their mission is now underway. So that forces you to go to the town side, fire, police, administrators, town hall, and try to tighten belts there. And that's what the town of Enfield did. And to the credit of Mayor Ludwig and his team, there's no layoffs in Enfield right now. There's no huge diminution of services. But come the new fiscal year, the pain is going to be spread across the board, and everybody's going to have to really tighten their belts. So, some towns sent out supplemental tax bills. Enfield did not, to their credit. But we do know what's coming down the road, and we're bracing for it right now.
Senator, how do we resolve this budget situation? If you look at the rest of this year's budget and then next year, you're talking right now about a $400 million deficit, and then long-term, over the next 3 years, you're looking at anywhere between $6 and $8 billion. How do we end this cycle?
Well, you have to look at your fixed costs and try to adjust those. So a lot of talk has been had about the CBAC agreement, which was a party line vote broken in the Senate by the lieutenant governor, which ties our hands for 10 years. Nonetheless, if it looks like people are eventually going to lose their jobs or the system can't sustain itself, we need to bring those folks back to the table and try to renegotiate that. Whether we have the legal ability to do so, that's a big question mark. especially if the House and the Senate and the governor's office go Republican and they vote, and the vote is sustained to change that agreement, what kind of effect does that have as far as being able to withstand a legal attack? So they have to be part of it. We do have a firm borrowing cap. So instead of borrowing $3 billion a year, which the governor's been doing lately, it'll be pushed down to two. And I got to be honest, Dan, you do that for a few years, and all of a sudden you're looking a lot healthier just because you're not using the state's credit card to the max. So things like that. But we have to get our arms around the debt, the pension obligations, and all those things that are quote-unquote fixed, because we can't keep going to the other 30% or 27% of the budget that's sort of left out there and try to make all the savings out of that, because the numbers just don't work.
Now, it's up in your neck of the woods, and we obviously know Springfield is just over the border. Mm-hmm. So where do you stand on this casino battle that's going to be unfolding between what supposedly is going to go into East Windsor and MGM trying to stop that and build its own casino?
Well, you know, I almost wonder if that had anything to do with this Mass Mutual thing. Because it's almost like, you know, Connecticut's decided to go to war with Springfield's redevelopment. I don't know if that had any implications one way or another. And the other way we get out of this budget mess, Dan, is to grow the pie and have more businesses want to come to Connecticut, and that's an overall fiscal situation. But as far as the casino, I've been adamantly opposed. We have a bucolic, lovely nature here up in north central Connecticut. It's a great place to work, live, raise a family. We do not need a casino in East Windsor at all. I appreciate the fact that those folks in that town wanted it, but I guess if you're looking for any job, one job is better than none. But as far as I'm concerned, I have voted against it. I have spoken against it. I have been on the floor of the Senate arguing against it. I think, first of all, overall, depending on casinos, for your future is bad policy, because someone's losing. Why do casinos make money? Because regular hardworking folks are losing money, or people on pensions are losing money. But if we are going to go down this road, it makes more sense to me that we have an open competition. And it probably would be far better to have a casino down in the Bridgeport area where you could make a lot more money. But then that puts the whole compacts at risk. But again, I've often argued that I think it's unconstitutional to allow the two tribes to try to build a casino off tribal lands here in East Windsor. So for a variety of reasons, Dan, I think expanding gambling is misguided at best, and certainly a bad policy here in north central Connecticut.
So if this bill actually came up for a vote then to open up the process, how would you vote?
You know, I have to think about that one, because I'm torn. On the one hand, if I think it would sink the casino here in East Windsor, I'd probably be a yes. But overall, for the future of the state of Connecticut, I'm not so sure I want to turn the state into Pottersville and have casinos all over the state. And once you start opening this process up, where does it end? So I might have to turn around and be a hard no on that. That's going to be a really hard issue if it does come before us. It's got to go through public safety, I believe, first, before it comes before the legislature as a whole. That's a tough one, Dan. I'm going to have to really think about that.
Right. Senator, you're also co-chair of the legislature's Judiciary Committee, and as you know, your fellow Republican, Senator Susio, had a news conference on Monday about Governor Malloy's Second Chance Program, which Senator Susio claims has been a failure, and now he's introduced legislation to include more crimes be covered under those who don't become part of this Risk Reduction Earned Credit Program. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's sort of two different things. The Second Chance Society was increasing the age where you treat individuals as juveniles as opposed to adults. And I am totally opposed to expanding that age beyond 18. To my mind, if you're 18 or older, you can go serve in the military, and you have all those other responsibilities, you can vote, then you can be held accountable for bad decisions. So that's Second Chance Society is not going to get expanded under my watch if I have anything to do with it. As far as the risk reduction credits, I think Senator Susio is spot on that there are certain crimes that may not now be covered as far as not being allowed to get the risk reduction credits, especially for things like sexual assault in the first degree. If that's not covered, it should be included. So I'm definitely open to my good friend Senator Susio's ideas. On the other hand, for nonviolent offenses, it's a good incentive. I talk to my corrections officers. I have six facilities. Soon will be five when they close Enfield Correctional, and it does help keep the peace inside those facilities. And it does afford individuals a way to, like, work hard, take classes. I'm opposed to getting credits just if you sign up for a class and you don't finish it. And I've talked to Commissioner Semple and others about that, and we're going to try to reform those things. But I think for nonviolent offenses and trying to create some programming to try to turn these people's lives around, I think there's some value to it. So I'm open to new ideas regarding it, but I wouldn't throw the whole thing out the window.
Okay. And circling back to what's going on again with MassMutual, so you're trying to get answers to find out not only why MassMutual is undertaking this move over the border, but also was there any state money involved when the headquarters was upgraded 4 years ago?
Exactly. And if there was state money but there were no promises, then I guess we're out of luck. But if there were representations that there were so many jobs here in Enfield for a certain period of time and they're in violation, then, you know, they're going to have to reimburse us for whatever they owe us before they leave. But again, this is for a couple of year window of opportunity. And if we have a chance to keep them here, I hate corporate welfare, but I just don't want to see these jobs leave. The biggest question, Dan, to my mind, is why did they come to this decision, especially one day after this Connecticut fairness thing? Did they just sort of look at that speech and say, enough is enough? Connecticut's gone way too far to the left. All this talk about corporate taxation and tolls and unfunded pension obligations, we better skedaddle 8 miles up the road to Springfield. And if that's the case, we're in a world of hurt because this isn't going to end anytime soon.
No, it's not. Senator, thanks very much for exploring a lot of issues during this interview, and we'll talk again down the road. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Dan. Have an awesome weekend. Go USA Olympics.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 7th District State Senator John Kissel.